Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20 in verse 5. Proverbs 20 in verse 5. Says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. But a man of understanding would do what? Would draw it out. So on Sunday in Chaffin St. Giles, we began a series that we titled Understanding Purpose. Understanding Purpose. You know, purpose is so important. We are here on purpose. We are here for a purpose. Every person on this earth was born with a purpose. Hallelujah. And you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, you can still live in purpose. We just need to understand what purpose is. And so our goal is to discover our purpose. Our goal is to answer those questions. What is my purpose? Why am I here? How can I make a difference? How can I make an impact in my world? You know, what should I be doing? What should I be doing, you know? And what is that thing that I would do that will bring me joy? And how can I find fulfillment in life? So many questions that people ask. You know, some even ask, why am I here? And I'm trusting that, you know, when we gain an understanding of our purpose, we'll be able to answer these and many, many other questions. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we gave three key points, key elements concerning purpose on Sunday. Who remembers the first one? The first one is that your purpose is in your heart. It is in your heart. If you just look at that scripture, it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. So purpose is in the heart. We don't look externally to find purpose. You see, God has planted your purpose in life. He has planted it in your heart. And so what we have to do, because it says it's like deep water. You know, deep water, if you know about wells, what you do is that you don't just go to the well and stand there and the water will come to you. So purpose is like that. It's deep down in the well. I've got to learn how to get the bucket? Yeah, get a bucket. You put the rope on it and you put it down and you draw it out. So that's what we need to do when it concerns purpose. Let me show you what the Lexham English Bible, the translation. Have you got it? Lexham English Bible. It says, deep waters. So it flips it around a little bit. It says, deep waters are like what? Are like purpose. You see, purpose, you've got to think, you say, in the heart of a man. Deep waters are like purpose. So purpose is in the heart. You can't be looking outward to say, well, let me look at this and then I'll discover my purpose. You've got to first look outside, inside, sorry. You look inward, look within. You've got to know how to look on the inside of you. That's why meditation is important in life. Amen. Because everything that you need in life is in your heart. You know, God said to Jeremiah, it's in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, he said, before I shaped you, before I formed you, I knew you. You see, God doesn't make any purposeless thing. Even you don't make purposeless things. If you decide to make something, you made it because you had a purpose in mind. You had a goal. You had a plan in mind. You wouldn't just make anything. So can you imagine you? And God is letting Jeremiah know, because Jeremiah was in a point of despair. And God said to him, before you were formed, even though you're looking at life and thinking my life is purposeless, why am I here? You know, God said, no, this didn't just happen the day you were ordained a prophet. He said, before you were shipped in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I did what? I ordained you. He said, before you were born. He says, I what?
I knew you.
And he said, I ordained you as a prophet for the nations. So it was not the day that they laid hands on him as a prophet that he became a prophet. God already, see, before you were ever given any title, before you ever knew anything, God already put purpose on the inside of you. It's in you. You were born with it. You know, and when you become a believer, your purpose even becomes more clear. Amen. Unbelievers can walk in purpose if they search their heart. You know, look at all the things we talked about on Sunday. There's a lot of things. So, because God wants people to achieve purpose, He made every individual with a purpose. And until you are fulfilling purpose, you will never be satisfied in life. You always think there's something missing, because you were created for a purpose. You can imagine, you know, let's look at this microphone, and the microphone, even though the microphone hasn't got life, if the microphone does not do its job, it is of no use, isn't it? So let's assume the microphone had life, and it's not functioning the way it should function. He will be crying out that we should fix it, isn't it? Amen. And that's what we are doing. We want to fix it. Hallelujah. By learning what God says about us. Say, purpose, deep waters are like purpose in the heart of a man. And a man of understanding will do what? Will draw it out. So that leads us to the second point. What was the second point? Purpose is not, it's not accidental. See, so you see, when you go to the well, it is, you've got to draw it out, isn't it? You draw it out. You put the, and you draw it. So it's something that has to be drawn out. It means it is not something that you leave to trial and error. It is not by luck. If it is in my heart, then I've got to find it. I've got to discover it. And I've got to draw it out. It's not, I say, maybe, anyway, let me go to school. Let me do all the things I'm doing. Maybe I will find my purpose. It's right there. It's in your heart. God has put it there. Look within. Connect with your heart. You know, it's a skill, it's a spiritual skill, actually, to learn to connect with your heart. What happens is that we live in a world where we are too externally minded. We never look within. And you know, the Christian life is not to be lived from outside in. We are to live from inside out. We read that scripture in Proverbs that says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, your spirit. You know, sometimes you think it is the Holy Spirit. No, it is your spirit that is God's candle. God is going to touch your spirit to find everything that is inside you. Everything that He has deposited on the inside of you, He will connect with your spirit to search it out. So if I'm looking outward to search out things, I can't find it. Because God Himself is going to touch my spirit to search. Praise God. Because you are made in His image. God walks spirit to spirit. The Bible says comparing spiritual with spiritual. So God is not going to use external. He's going to use the spirit that He breathed inside you. Because that spirit is like Him. That spirit understands Him. That spirit knows Him. That spirit is not affected by all the challenges and issues going on in the world. So He leads. Say, they that worship God must do what? Must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That is, you must engage God with your spirit, not with your eyes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is not accidental. It is something that we must draw out. Hallelujah. And I cannot overemphasize the point that it is in your heart. It is in your heart. Learn to engage with your heart. Learn to ponder and reason in your heart. What are the things that I love? What are the things that I'm passionate about? What are the things that come to me easily? What are those things? What are the things that when I do them, I have real joy? What are the things that I do regardless of challenges and opposition? Regardless of the things that face me, what are those things? Begin to search. Hallelujah. It says the spirit of man is what? The candle of the lamp of the Lord. It searches. So I've got to do diligent search. I've got to search so I can discover my purpose here on earth. So don't ignore what your heart is telling you. Many times we walk with our head. Our head is for intellectual stuff. Amen. And it is good. Confirm it first with your heart and let your head line up with it. Don't do it the other way around. And you know, people who discover their purpose early in life, they move fast. They are far ahead of everybody else. But thank God for His grace. I said, thank God for his grace. Amen. You know, like I said on Sunday, that the Bible says the time will come when the plowman will overtake the reaper. You know, in God, even though you are just starting afresh, amen, you can overtake the people who started young donkeys of years ago with God on your side. So it's never too late. The day you hear the word of God and receive it is the day it starts working in your life. It starts working. Praise God. So it is not accidental. We need to draw it out. We need to draw it out. Amen. What does Jeremiah, and then the third one. What's the third one? Your purpose is got to be good. It's good. It's got to be good. So if you're saying, well, this is my purpose in life, and what you're doing is evil. Amen. That's not purpose. That is dangerous. So purpose, because God has a purpose for this earth. And his purpose for humanity is what? Is good. So if it is godly purpose, it is good. And if it is good, it is of God. And I'm saying this because it's not just believers. God wants unbelievers who don't know him yet to do good things. Hallelujah. Because the ultimate is so that there will be good in the world. There will be good in the world. And then when Christ returns, then the world will be perfect. But in the meantime, we keep the world ticking with the good that we do. The people who are doing evil and doing bad things are the ones who are destroying the earth. They are destroying, they are bringing misery to people. But those who are doing good are the ones shining the light. The Bible says, let your light so shine that men will see what? Your good deeds, you see, is good. Every purpose has to be good. And because it was given to you, purpose was given to you to produce and bring good to the world. And like I said, purpose transcends you. If the purpose you have is just for you, so that I will have this, I will have that, I will have the, you know, I will have this maybe title or money or whatever it is. If it is just for you, it is not godly purpose. What did God say to Abraham? He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That's purpose. So if I'm blessed and I'm not a blessing to anybody, that's not godly purpose. That's what they call selfishness. It's what Jesus actually warned people of. Beware of covetousness. That's greed. You see, God bless you so that you'll be a channel to bless others. Hallelujah. So the purpose has to be good. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we say, you are God's masterpiece, and he has recreated you in Christ Jesus to do the good things that he has planned for you to do. When God made you, some good things he has downloaded in you. And we're going to search it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, I know the plans that I have for you. You see, purpose, they are plans. They are counsels and wise counsels and thoughts. Hallelujah. They are things that you do to bring good to your world. And I know the plans that I think towards you, they are what? They are plans of good. Good, always good. Amen. So if I'm doing something now that is not good, I'm not fulfilling purpose. Hallelujah. Okay, I want to go to the fourth one tonight. The fourth one tonight is that purpose is not primarily what you are doing. Because sometimes when you look at purpose, you say, well, my purpose is to, let's say for instance, my purpose is to play keyboard. That's not the primary reason of purpose. So my purpose is not primarily what you are doing. It is more about the impact it is making. Hallelujah. So you find that I am playing the keyboard in church, but what am I doing? I'm making an impact. I'm drawing people into fellowship with God. Then that's purpose. I'm helping people to connect with God, to worship God. You know, our worshipers, the people who minister in songs, it's not just they are singing. That's not purpose. It's linked to their purpose, but their purpose. So if I'm coming here to minister, if I'm coming here either to sing or to play the keyboard, I'm not just coming and saying, oh, I'm going to play in church. I'm going to draw people to God. That's purpose. It is the impact what you are doing is making. And you will see that as we go along. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Now look at it. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what?
Power.
With power. Power here is ability. It could be gift. It could be strength, talent, whatever. So God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good. Can you see this is purpose now? Because he links up. It is good. And it came from within him. We know that. We read on Sunday how Jesus, at the age of 12, he was already engaging in the temple with the teachers. So he went about doing good and doing what?
Healing.
You see, he was not just the gift that he had, which is good that he has the gift, but he went spreading it out to people. He was making an impact. He was healing all who were oppressed. So until my gifting, my talent is affecting lives, is doing something significant to people, it is not yet a purpose. Did you catch that? And don't look at what you are doing as the main thing. Look at the impact it is making. That's when it becomes a purpose. And so many times when people want to look at what is my purpose in life, they are thinking, what should I be doing? What should I be doing that is going to do what? Make an impact in the world. In fact, the word is to make a difference. Make a difference. That's the subtitle of today's message. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about. He was deliberate. He was purposefully going about because purpose in his heart needed to affect people, needed to impact people, needed to touch lives. Hallelujah. He's got to bring a difference in people's lives. So he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the fourth thing is, it is not just what you are doing or what you will do. It is about the impact that you are making in the lives of people. Don't just do what you are doing. Make sure it is making an impact. Amen. So if you can define what you're doing and define the impact of what that thing is making in the lives of people, then you've got a purpose. Then you know your purpose. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I said praise God.
Hallelujah.
See, the worshipers, every time we come into church, they are bringing us joy, aren't they? That's what should be in your mind. That's what gives you joy, because you're bringing joy to people. Amen. You know, it's in any area, if you're a doctor, what impact is your being a doctor making in the lives of people? Are you just treating people? You say, come in. Well, I know what I'm going to give you is paracetamol. No, but you think deep. How can I ensure that this person gets properly healed? How can I ensure that I bring joy to their heart? How can I, you go beyond that. You begin to give them good care. You know, you can give good care and you can give poor care, isn't it? So a person on purpose who knows purpose will always deliver good. Always. And it will always make an impact. The people, we have the doctor in our surgery, the one we've known for many years, we've been with her. And she's such an amazing person. Such an amazing doctor. And, I can't describe more enough. I don't get to see her too often, but what I'm saying is, and then the other day we went to the surgery and we saw our neighbors, as one of our neighbors, just opposite neighbors, and I was speaking to her and she said, look, that this doctor, I can't see anybody else. It has to be her. I will not see anybody else. And I've known, one of our sisters also told me that they have a doctor. Can you imagine? And there was somebody, a dentist. People are laughing because they know the person. Some people are, it's in the local area. And in fact, my wife went there and said, if it is him, I'm not going. You've got to find me another dentist. If it's him, I'd rather go home. Now, he has the qualification. He's well qualified to do the job, but he doesn't impact people's lives. He's not living on purpose. You know, and if you're not living on purpose, you can damage people. Because God wants good. Wants good. You've got to have Jesus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, he went about doing good, healing. That's why people were pouring to him. They wanted healing. And they know he will give it. And he's been anointed to do it. He's been empowered. Whatever God has called you to do, you are anointed to do. You are empowered to do. So to not affect lives is actually to waste the gift that God has given you. Praise God. So thank God for the people who serve in church. I worship him and use them as an example. They are teaching us to fellowship with God. You are connecting us with God. That's what you're doing. So it's not just that you've got to learn to sing well, isn't it? And learn to worship to be able to do that. But the goal is what I'm talking about. And that's the real purpose. You are touching lives. You are affecting lives. You are influencing people. That's where he teaches us in the children's church to change the people, the children, so that they will grow up to love God, to serve God with all their heart and with all their might, so that the words that they are hearing, the teachings that the children and the youth are hearing, will bring them stability in their world. When you begin to reason like that, then you begin to get fulfillment. You see, until you know that purpose, all you'll be doing is, but I've been doing this for 10 years now. What's all this about? Because you have not linked it to purpose. The moment it is linked to purpose, the benefit that humanity will get from it, wow. Or maybe you are working in customer service. You are supposed to be customer service, but all you're doing is customer damage. You have the title, you have the qualification, but it's not doing good. So it's not about what I am doing, it is about the impact. Is it making a difference? You know, I like this saying. It says, you can either make excuses or you make a difference. You can't do both. Amen? You know, you can give a reason. Say, oh, pastor, you don't know my job. It's so hard that I can't really make it. You know, I can't. No, that's excuses. Or you make a difference, you cannot do both. So if you're making a difference, you don't make excuses. If you're making excuses, you can't make a difference. Hallelujah. So whatever it is, and let me tell you something, if it is an area that you find that you cannot make a difference, maybe that's a clue. If you are not lazy, maybe that's a clue. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't realize that. My voice is still loud. Amen. Praise God. I said praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Making a difference. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. So you are making sure that what you are doing is impacting lives, is doing something to people. It is touching their lives. And you know, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you, you know, regardless of the challenges that you face, you keep going. I was saying, if you find that you're not making a difference, and you can't make a difference, maybe that's an indication that you shouldn't be doing that thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not that if you're a lazy person, then it means, if you're not lazy, and you're finding that you can't make a difference, try as you may, you really, because number one, it means that you're not enjoying it. You're not enjoying it. You know, what you are making a difference, you've got to enjoy. Because if you're not enjoying it, how do you expect people to enjoy it? Hallelujah. You've got to have a zeal for it. You've got to have a passion for it. You've got to be able to go the extra mile for it. So not making an impact, not making a difference, is also a sign that maybe I need to search more. Hallelujah. Because when you search and you find your purpose, you will make a difference and you make an impact in the lives of people. You know, you can imagine everyone, those in government, living on purpose. If I say I want to be the prime minister, what's my goal? What's my purpose for being a prime minister? If I want to be an MP, what's my purpose? And then when I get there and I'm achieving purpose, every person in my constituency, they're enjoying. They are happy. They know that when they have an issue, they can come in and it will be solved for them. I'm not just going to say, okay, come and see me. I've got my, what do you call it? You know, the time that I do surgery sessions. So you go to surgery sessions and the people are coming. When they are talking, it's like they're talking Chinese. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. You see, no purpose. So the people are not affected. People are not changed. This is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about doing good, healing. The people knew they were healed, and they could come back to him for more healing. And it was not just about him. It was about the impact he was making in the lives of people. Praise God. I said, praise God. So whatever you're doing, and what this also means, it's not really about the particular thing I'm doing. It is more about the impact it is making. And I say this because many times we live life to say, I want to become this. And then you become that, and then you're not happy. Okay, maybe I should change and become this. And then you change again, or you retrain, and you become that. And then you're still not fulfilled. Why is that? Because it's not about this or that. It is about the impact it is making. It is not about the title you give to me. Whether you call me a pastor or not, what I'm doing now, I will do it with all my heart, with all my passion, with everything within me, whether I am called, what other name can you call me? Yeah?
Bishop.
No, not Bishop. Now, you see, there are people, they just want to have the title. Why you want to be a young person and be called a bishop? Somebody's 20-something years old and say, I'm a bishop. For what? It's the title. You see, they're not thinking of the impact, making a difference in life. Hallelujah. If you're a business person, how is your business making a difference? You start first by saying you are an employer of labor. As you employ, you are not just employing people. Look at that. Those people, you know, there was one of our brothers in church. He was launching another part of his business. And during that inauguration or the launching, you know, someone was talking about the impact his business was making in the local in the area. This is something that many people, because of the challenges in that area, they will not want to invest their money to do that. So it takes boldness and courage and faith for him to actually establish a business. But not just that. That is employing people. Through that, people are able to send their children to school. So not only is it just, don't see yourself just paying people to have money. No, no, no. See yourself touching lives beyond the person that you're paying. All their families, their children, they are being fed. You are taking away hunger from people. The good that you are doing, how God anointed you. Because you've been anointed to do it. This is important. You've been anointed to do it. And you've got to link that purpose to it. And that's what God blesses. He blesses the purpose that he has asked you to achieve. He blesses purpose. Thank you, Lord. So you're making an impact. You're a nurse. You're a carer. Why should we have people, you know, maybe you're caring for somebody and then you push them and they fall down. Why should that be? They still call you carer, but you're not a carer. Amen. A pusher. If everyone on earth could work on purpose, if I go to work recognizing that my job is to make an impact in people's lives, is to do God's work on this earth, that I'm making an impact. I'm going to make somebody smile today. Hallelujah. Maybe you're working, you know, those who are customer-facing jobs. Every customer that comes your way, you know, they just smile. They are happy. You know, you may just think you're bringing more money to your company. Yes, you would do that, but you are giving somebody joy. You know, Barnabas. Do you know Barnabas in the Bible? What does Barnabas mean? Son of encouragement. You know, that was not his name. His name was Joseph. But the apostles called him what? Barnabas. You see, the apostles named him Barnabas because all he was doing in church was encouraging people. They changed his name. They stopped calling him Joseph. You don't know him as Joseph. But if you read Acts chapter 4, when they were selling their things and bringing it before there, they said, Joseph, who the apostles named Barnabas, also sold these things and brought them. They didn't want to accept Paul into the church because they knew Paul as somebody who was what? He was persecuting the church. So everybody, including Peter, all of them, said, no, we don't want this guy. Maybe he's a spy. He's pretending that he's been converted so that he can come and give our names to the authorities. It was Barnabas who took him to them in Jerusalem. I said, no, I know that he's been touched. He's been touched by the Spirit of God. He was traveling on the road to Damascus, so it was Barnabas who encouraged him. And there was a time when in Cyprus, you know, Barnabas is actually from Cyprus, to read the Bible. He's from Cyprus, one of the Jews who was in diaspora in Cyprus. And so when the Jews when people were getting saved in Cyprus, he was one of the people sent. You know why he was sent to Cyprus? To go and encourage the believers. Are you seeing what purpose is? That gives you joy. With all of the persecution going on, anytime they sent Barnabas, he was excited because he was an encourager. Children's church teachers, what are you doing? What impact are you making? I know you're making real impact. We saw that on Sunday. Amen. But you've got to link that. When you wake up and you think you're making impact in people's life, you will never grow weary in life. You never go. It gives you energy. It gives you strength. If you are an usher, are you making a difference? A librarian, a cleaner, a teacher, a parent, are you making an impact? Are you making a difference in your children's life? Are you making a difference? Or, you know, people have to try and beg you and plead with you to parent your children well. Amen. But if I know this is my purpose, if you're a son, you're a daughter, a media, a technical, every person, the purpose that God has called us to do. So the question I must ask myself, am I making a difference or am I making excuses? Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, whatever your profession is, whatever your area of expertise, am I making a difference? Am I able to make a difference in this area? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a life that is not making a difference is a purposeless life. I've got to be making a difference. Are you making an impact? Are you bringing joy? Are you helping people? Are you doing what comes to you naturally? Are you doing what you are passionate about, what you will get out about to make sure that you touch lives? Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. If you know that you don't like facing people, don't do a job that you're going to be facing people. Praise God. Otherwise, you will not be happy, isn't it? And you won't do a good job. And you will not be able to do what? To make a difference. Don't look at how much they are going to pay you to choose your job. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know that money is not to be pursued. People who pursue money, they are always beaten. Money is to be attracted, not to be pursued. When you are doing what you have been purposed to do, money will come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Position will come to you. Titles will come to you. I know this is a different way of reasoning because that's how a lot of people miss it. We just look externally to discover purpose, but you must look on the inside to discover your purpose in life. Hallelujah. Because purpose has its fair share of difficulties. You'll be able to stand if you know the impact and the difference that you're making. Praise God. Whether as a business person, whether as a doctor, you know, being a doctor has challenges. Well, but you'll be able to stand and do with joy if you know you're making a difference. And if it's your purpose, being a pastor has challenges. Glory to God. Thank God you've never seen me come to the pulpit and frown. Praise God. I'm enjoying it. Does he have challenges? Oh, yes, plenty of challenges over the years, 20 plus years, over the years. But you know, I don't lose sleep because I know that we are making an impact. Glory to God. And that's what keeps you going. Praise God. I said, praise God. Genesis 45, as I close. Genesis 45. We're going to delve more into this. I really want us, you know, I'm making it very clear and very simple. Because purpose is not that hard. It's in your heart. It's good. It's not by accident. And it is not just what you're doing. It is the impact. Look at Joseph. Look at Joseph. Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother. You know, listen to this. Because he knew his purpose, that's why he was not angry with his brothers. If you are living on purpose, you will not have bitterness against anyone. Because your purpose is to bring joy to people. So how can you be bitter against people that you are supposed to be what? To bring joy into their hearts. So if I'm in customer service, for instance, I just smile. You know, many times when I was at the customer facing at the airport, people would come around and say, go and call Shesson. When they have a nasty customer who's giving them trouble, particularly if the customer is from Nigeria. They say, go and call. Please go and find him. And I will come down. Any customer, there's a woman who was going to Russia many, many years ago to try and adopt a baby. And not just in Moscow, it was one of the internal, so she had to take many flights. And she got late for her flight. And you know, this whole process, so she told the people at the desk and told them, look, I've got to go and I've got to be there. The flight, she will have to travel about 3-4 days or whatever. And she missed that flight. We needed to now route her with British Airways instead of Lufthansa. And the colleagues were saying, oh, no, no. I just passed by around there and they said, oh, no, she's lying. You know, you go into the room at the back, say, she's lying. She missed her flight. She has to wait till tomorrow. And she was crying and sobbing. I said, look, let's believe her. What if she's saying the truth? So that's how we routed the ticket on British Airways. When she returned, I think about 2-3 weeks later, she brought the baby to the airport, brought a picture of the baby, and said, thank you to all the people that helped me. And we kept the picture in the office. Beautiful baby boy. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You bring joy. When you do that and you see that testimony, what does it do? It fires you up. So when you have a nasty customer the next day, you still are happy. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Look at what he said. Look at what Joseph said. He said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. I can imagine what you and I will do when you meet somebody who sold you to slavery. Yeah. And now you are in charge of the whole nation. Hey! You will speak some special tongues. Hallelujah. But look at what he did to his brother. Look at what he did. This is purpose. He looked at it. He said, but now, do not what? Therefore, be grieved. He's telling them not to be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He's still repeating it. For God sent me here before you to preserve life. That's purpose. I came to preserve life. You may have sold me. You didn't know what you were doing. What you were doing is the purpose that God had planted in my heart, you were helping me to achieve it. See, purpose. He didn't link coming to Egypt as a misery, as something to be sad about. He linked it to preserving lives. Finally, Genesis chapter 50, he repeats it. Some few years later, he repeats what he said. So Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? Verse 20. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. So it is not just what you are doing. It is not just about your title. He didn't say God made me prime minister. No. He said God brought me here to save lives, to preserve lives, to make people have food instead of hunger, to change lives, to make a difference in the world. We are here to make a difference. Hallelujah. And that's purpose. Look for that area that you can make a difference. What can I do to make a difference? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be encouraging people. It could be singing. It could be whatever it is, but you are making a difference in the lives of people. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you praise. Oh, just go ahead and thank God for the purpose that He has planted in your heart. That good thing that He has planted. And whatever area that will be deployed, the Lord is showing us clearly so that we can make an impact, make a difference in our world. In every environment that we have found, we are making a difference. Let's pray for our young people, our children, even as they are growing up, that they'll begin to discover their purpose. They begin to understand what purpose is. Understanding of purpose. It is to make a difference. You know, if you know your purpose, you will not be found among the wrong people because you are living on purpose. You know what you're about. You know what God has called you to do. You know you need to make a difference in the world. You know, it's one of the ways to deliver children, to deliver people from evil when they know purpose. Father, thank you for revealing to every one of our children, our young people, their purpose in this life. Kiraba shakataraba. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.